Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 25 of the 2024 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft-eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And it's NFL draft by the numbers. This is one of my favorite series because, really, it's just all about taking a look at the numbers. What has the history of the draft told us? What can we try to guess based on what those numbers show us? Do they tell us anything? Is there any way to predict this year's draft class? We're going to take a look at it, see what we can do with each position. Last podcast kicked off the series with the quarterbacks. We're going to go ahead and take a look at the running back position in this podcast. So when we look at the running back position over the last 5 years, and really, you know, for a while now, the running back position has kind of been devalued. We've seen a lot of turnover, a lot of guys moving to the different spots, looking for contracts, etc. The most notable, Saquon Barkley on the move. You got Derrick Henry on the move. Some of the big name guys are starting to move. Josh Jacobs now in Green Bay. Aaron Jones also on the move. So a lot of guys are moving around, and you know it's tough. You know, when guys get into those contracts and trying to figure out, you know, can they sign a long-term deal? They want that second contract. They want more of that job security, because look, the shelf life of a running back is very short. And so that's the other thing that you look at with the draft, is there are always guys that are going to be coming in. And frankly, you know, you can plug some of these guys into some of these offenses and they're able to make an impact. And so that's something that obviously that's cause for concern for a lot of the elite running backs out there. So when we look at by the numbers, we're really going to take a look at the last 3 years and last 5 years, both, you know, going back to 2019 and obviously 2021 through 2023, because look, a lot can change even in 5 years. So when we look at the draft classes, 2023, we actually had two running backs taken in round number one. And look, 2022 out of the last 5 years was the only year that we didn't see a running back taken in round one. We'll talk about that draft class here in a minute. A lot of prominent names in that draft class taken on day two and day three of the draft. Really an interesting draft class. When you take a look at 2023, what do you have? Obviously, you've got Bijan Robinson going number eight overall to the Falcons. You got Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions, making the deal, getting up to number 12 to take Gibbs. After that, you only saw one back come off the board in round number two, and that was Zach Charbonnet, the UCLA Bruin, going to Seattle at pick number 52. Then you've got four running backs taken in round three. You know, Kendrick Miller, Tyjae Spears, looks like a good one there in Tennessee. Devin Achane, in Miami, looks like a stud. I think Bigsby hasn't been able to get things going yet there in Jacksonville. Then you get to day three, you've got Roschon Johnson, Izzy Abanikanda in round five, along with Chase Brown, Eric Gray, Evan Hull. Round six was a little interesting. You know, Chris Rodriguez, Deuce Vaughn, Zach Evans. Deuce Vaughn is the guy that hopefully we'll get to see more of here in 2024. Dwayne McBride, Lou Nichols, Kenny McIntosh kind of rounding out the group there in round number seven. Some guys that were productive at the collegiate level. There were some questions about their game, and ultimately they ended up falling all the way to that seventh round. I think we're going to have some of that here with this year's draft class as well. So 2023, if you're scoring at home, that's two in the first, one in the second, four in the third, one in the fourth, four in the fifth, three in the sixth, and three in the seventh, for a total of 18. Now, 18 is the second lowest total in the last 5 years. The lowest was actually 2020. And, 2020 was the year that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we were surprised. We thought it was going to be, DeAndre Swift. It was going to be Jonathan Taylor. No, it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire that was taken with the number 32 overall pick by the Chiefs. Swift and Taylor and Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon, all taken in round number two. Keyshawn Vaughn, Zach Moss, taken with the 86th overall pick. That's an interesting one. And then you've got Darrington Evans, Joshua Kelly and Michael Pirine are now four. Anthony McFarland, DJ Dallas, Jason Huntley, Eno Benjamin, Raymond Calais, really round out that group. You have four taken there in round four, Huntley in five, and then Benjamin and Calais there in round number seven. And so that was a draft class. Again, when you look at it, just the one taken in round number one, five in round two, and then it was basically the, and then three in round three. So you actually had nine running backs taken at the front end of the draft. That was actually the most that we've seen in the last 5 years. And then on the back half, there just wasn't a whole lot of depth on day three. Only seven guys taken in rounds four through seven. So, but what's interesting is, like, you go back to 2019 and you had a ton of backs taken. You had 25. So really a staggering number. Obviously Josh Jacobs, here are some names that are definitely going to ring a bell for you. Josh Jacobs taking number 24 overall by the Raiders, right? Then you get to round two, there's Miles Sanders to the Eagles, the Penn State Nittany Lion at 53. Then we have a run in round number three, a lot of good backs. Check out these names: Daryl Henderson, David Montgomery, Devin Singletary, Damian Harris, Alexander Mattison. I mean, you can see, you're talking about the depth. You can see why. Then it continues. It just continues, right? Bryce Love never really could get things going with the injuries and such. In round four, Justice Hill, Benny Snell, then Tony Pollard, taking number 128 overall. Crazy, right? Then you get into round number five. You have three backs taken: Rykel Armstead, Kadri Allison, Jordan Scarlett, Travion Williams in round six, along with Ty Johnson, who's sticking around a little bit. Dexter Williams, Travis Homer, Rodney Anderson. Despite all the injuries, he got drafted in round number six. There's Darwin Thompson. Then you get into round seven with Mike Weber, Colin Gillespie, Kareth White from FAU, Chandler Cox, Miles Gaskin, taking number 234 overall. I mean, you look at him, I mean, he's been a mainstay in the backfield there in Miami, taking number 234 overall. So you can really see that there was depth from top to bottom in that year's draft class. So it made a lot of sense. You saw those 25 come off the board, right? So then 2022, again, nobody taken in round number one. But you still had 24 taken in that draft class. And really, it was on day three where we saw the bulk of that happen, because only six taken on day two, led by Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, James Cook in round number two, Rashad White, Tyrion Davis, Davis Price, and Brian Robinson in round number three. But then you get to round four, and we saw five in round four, five in round five, and five in round six, which is insane. Damian Pierce, Simeon White, Isaiah Spiller, Pierre Strong, Hassan Haskins. Then you get to round five, and you got Tyler Allgeier taking number 151 overall by the Falcons. What a steal that was. Snoop Connor, Jerome Ford, and Kyren Williams of the Rams taking at 164. Ty Chandler of the Vikings at 169. Then you look at round six. Here's another five with Kevin Harris, Tyler Beatty, Keontae Ingram, Preston Ebner, Connor Hayward. And then you get into round seven, and there's going to be a name that's going to ring a bell here as well. Britton Brown, taken at 250, right, by the Raiders from UCLA. One pick later, number 251 overall out of Rutgers. How about Isaiah Pacheco? Two-time Super Bowl winning running back, right? And so that's the thing that's really crazy is, again, you can pick up guys at any point in the draft. Xander Horvath, the fullback out of Purdue, taken by the Chargers nine picks later. But Isaiah Pacheco, just the most recent example of a guy that you could end up grabbing in the seventh round. So just because when you look at this year's draft class and you say, well, we've got some guys that are going to be coming off the board in round seven, maybe even some guys that are going to go undrafted, that doesn't mean that they're not necessarily going to find in the right system, the right fit, they could end up getting the job done. So what does this mean overall? So when you look at it overall, that last 5 years, first round, you know, right around 1.2, 1.3, really between, you know, 3 years and 5 year average, right? And so we don't have a first round running back in this year's draft class. We just don't. You know, and it's one of those things to where I think you're going to see the depth come out as we get further and further along into this draft class. But I look at the first round, and we're just, because of the draft class with the receivers, the offensive linemen, and really even the corners, you know, and then obviously the quarterbacks up at the top as well. Any of these players, any chance that a Jonathan Brooks or a Trey Benson had of making it in round number one went out the window. But I don't see any of those guys. There's some questions to everyone's game, from the injuries with Jonathan Brooks to Trey Benson, you know, that upright running style. You know, what offense is that going to fit into? So, you know, no running backs taken in the first round in this year's draft class. So what does that mean when you look at the second round? Well, five-year average, because of those five taken in 2020, you're looking at about a 2.2 average, right? So in the three-year average, though, 1.7. So we saw five in 2020. We saw three in 2022. So if we follow the pattern, maybe we'll see, you know, maybe three running backs taken again in round number two, possibly four. When I look at this draft class, I think number one is going to be Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, 6 foot, 216 pounds. We know that he's got the knee injury. But prior to the knee injury, through 11 games, over 1,100 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, 10 touchdowns, 25 receptions as well, with 11.4 yard per catch average. This is a guy that has the speed. I love the contact balance. You know, he was a guy that was well on his way to having just a banner year. And I'll tell you what, had Texas had him in the college football playoff, the outcome would have been vastly different. You saw that Texas tried to eke out the win there against Washington. But if you put in Jonathan Brooks, honestly, I don't know if there's any team that's going to end up stopping Texas because of the way that Jonathan Brooks was able to bring some balance to that offense and then also be a threat catching the football out of the backfield. Trey Benson out of Florida is my number two guy. Another guy who is 6 foot, right around 216 pounds. And with Trey Benson, what you got there is a power back. This guy is physical between the tackles. He runs with that pad level. You know, he's more of an upright running style, but he wants to run through you. But what's also nice is he has that, you know, enough lateral agility to make you miss, and then the speed to run by you. I mean, this guy, you know, put forth an impressive effort there at the combine, running sub 4.4. And so when you're talking about some of these running backs and guys that have that legit breakaway speed, guys that can be those home run hitters, you know, while also being able to be effective, you know, between the tackles, there aren't too many guys that can do both. Trey Benson's one of those guys. 4.39 40. To me, he's just a guy that is going to be competing with Jonathan Brooks for that number one running back spot. But I think, you know, not everyone is going to like that upright running style. You know, Derrick Henry gets away with it, but Trey Benson, what a career, right? You know, he started at Oregon, didn't get a whole lot of playing time there. Back-to-back seasons at FSU, over 900 yards, 23 touchdowns there with the Seminoles, and then 33 receptions as well. I think the playmaking ability, the speed. He's one of those guys that I look at a team like Dallas that's looking for a running back, whether it's Jonathan Cooper or Trey Benson. I don't think the Cowboys can go wrong in round number two. I ran out of room with my second round trying to find a place for some of these running backs. It wasn't easy to be able to do that. You know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. It was hard to try to find a place for multiple running backs in round number two. I think there may actually be a trade back into round two for a team to end up grabbing one of these running backs potentially. And I've got Trey Benson going to the Giants. When you think about Saquon Barkley, what he's meant to that team, over 5,200 yards, 35 touchdowns in six seasons. The physicality, the speed, I think, you know, that's going to fit well there with the Giants. Look, they've got Devin Singletary, you know, had a career high a season ago. Gary Brightwell, Eric Gray, not proven running backs yet. I think they get a high-end rookie to push for playing time early. And, you know, Benson, I think, is a guy that could challenge Singletary for some of that playing time. And if nothing else, he'd be a nice compliment. Look, you know, I thought that Singletary-Zach Moss was a nice combo when that was a thing in Buffalo. And I think these two, you get that power, you get some of that shiftiness of Singletary. I think that would be a nice change of pace. So after that, another guy that can come off the board in round two or, you know, fall to round number three is going to be Jalen Wright. And so if we do have just two running backs come off the board in round number two, then, you know, that would basically be the lowest number of running backs taken since 2019. 2019, we saw one in round one, one in round two. If we only have one running back come off the board in round two, Jonathan Brooks, then, you know, which is the way I have it mocked right now, then that would be the lowest in the last 5 years. So I think we're going to actually see probably another running back come off the board. I think that makes the most sense. Then you get to Jalen Wright, who's, you know, 5'10 and a half, 210 pounds, excellent speed. That's one of the things that I think, you know, is so impressive with him, right? Over 1,000 yards, but that's 7.4 yards per carry average. This is a guy, look, there's not a whole lot of wear on his legs because he was sharing the backfield with Jabari Small. You know, he can make you miss in the open field, good lateral agility, but that breakaway speed to go the distance on any play, again, not many running backs that have that. They can get yards in bunches, but they're not going to run away from you. First three guys that I've named all can absolutely run away from you. I look at the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals, you know, have a lot of picks that they've stockpiled, and they could be gathering even more. And so I look at them, potentially they're at number 66 overall at the top of round number three. Get a running back to complement James Conner. Hit the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in three seasons in Arizona. Didn't get much help. I think Jalen Wright would be the perfect back to be able to do that. And really what's crazy is the next running back is Marshawn Lloyd out of USC, 5'9", 220. And with Marshawn Lloyd, he's one of those guys some people think could even end up being the number one back taken in the draft. I mean, you know, when you think about it, the size, he's got an NFL body right now. And I think that's one of the things that is so impressive when you think about, you know, Marshawn and what he's able to do out there on the football field. I think he's got that blend of power and speed again. I don't think that he's quite has enough of that juice to run away from you and go the distance per se. Ran a 4.46 40 though, put up 225 25 times, which, you know, I mean, that ranked him third among the running backs. That's definitely no slouch at all. That's moving a lot of weight for one of the running backs. And you can see that just with his size, the way that he's built. Marshawn started his career at South Carolina, and really it was at USC where he stepped that game up, right? And he's a guy that, again, that powerfully built, but the vision between the tackles, sees the cutback lanes, keeps that low pad level, allows him to bounce off tackles, maintain that exceptional contact balance, and keep his footing and continue down the field. Incredibly quick feet, though. That's one of the things that you'll see when he sets the defenders up so well. Can make you miss in a phone booth with those quick feet. So deadly between the tackles there, but then he can also make you miss on the outside in the open field. And look, he put on a show at the Senior Bowl as a receiver, showing excellent footwork in his route running, nuances, widening the linebackers at the top of the route before planning, cutting away from them to create that separation. Tracked the ball well over his shoulder. The biggest thing for him, you know, I thought that there were some key fumbles, ball security there with SC. Ultimately, they had to bring in Austin Jones, his backup, when Marshawn, there was some concern there with him being able to hold on to the football. But I look at a team like Green Bay. Like, Green Bay's got the 88th overall pick in round number three. They could end up trading up, obviously to land a running back. When you think about Green Bay, they had Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, right? And yet they still drafted A.J. Dillon in 2020 with the 62nd pick overall, right? And so now it's kind of come full circle almost. You got AJ Dillon in a contract year backing up Josh Jacobs. I think ultimately what's going to happen is Marshawn Lloyd is going to take over that backup role from AJ Dillon. I think Dillon's not going to be in Green Bay next year. And, it just seems like the right fit for me. Nice compliment to Josh Jacobs. Keep an eye on that potentially happening. That just seems to make some sense. How about Blake Corum out of Michigan? 5'8", 205. Another guy, look, man, he's short but powerful. And, he was a guy that ran a 4.53 40, so speed and breakaway is not his game. But you look at the three cone drill, 6.82, second among the running backs. First was Tyrone Tracy, who we'll get to here, but 27 reps in the bench press as well. So again, he's a freaking bowling ball when you allow him to go ahead and get downhill. And when you look at Corum, obviously he played well in Jim Harbaugh's scheme, so Chargers feels like a perfect fit for him, right? Low center of gravity, patience to wait for that hole, the vision to find it, and then that lateral agility. Watch those jump cuts exploding through that hole. He suffered that ACL tear in 2022. He struggled a little bit coming back off of that, and then ultimately you saw the explosiveness at the right time, and I thought that Corum down the stretch, this guy just had a nose for the end zone. 58 touchdowns on the ground, including 27 this past season. 56 receptions as well. Does a little bit of everything. Seventh in the Heisman in 2022, despite the ACL. And then ninth in 2023 this past season. Chargers sitting there at number 69 overall. Austin Eckler's gone. Jim Harbaugh can slide one of his Michigan guys in. They know what they're getting with Blake Corum. And I think it just makes a ton of sense. You want power running game? Go ahead and get Blake Corum and let him go to work. And then I'm going to throw out a curveball. There are two guys that I think could end up coming off the board here in round number three. Either Tyrone Tracy of Purdue, Will Shipley of Clemson. I'm a lot higher on Will Shipley than I think some other guys are. 5'11", 206, they're out of Clemson. And to me, when I look at Will Shipley, he looks a little unassuming when you see him out there on the field. And then you watch him go to work. And, over 2,700 yards on the ground, 31 touchdowns, 85 receptions in just three seasons there with the Tigers. So, again, when you think about, the production, this guy can get it done in a variety of ways. And I think that versatility is something that's teams are going to covet and want to bring him in a lot sooner than I think people are really mocking him right now. I think he's tough between the tackles. Good job slipping the would-be defenders. They can make you miss in the hole. He slips those tackles so well. You can't really get a good line on him and line him up, square him up, because he's always looking to try to slip by you. Contact balance, again. And then he's got the speed. Speed to go the distance. 4.39 40 at Clemson's Pro Day. I know that he battled some injuries during the season, but the route running ability, the soft hands, athletic after the catch as well. I think he's going to be underrated, going into this, and ultimately I think he could end up being a day two pick. I'm looking at Denver as a potential landing spot, and right now I have him coming off the board in round four. You think about it, Javonte Williams struggled to come back from the ACL tear during the 2022 season. Then he had Jaleel McLaughlin kind of carrying the load, on the ground. Samaje Perine was effective as a pass catcher with 50 receptions. I just look at Will Shipley. He could do a little bit of both. You've got these guys. One guy is a better runner. One guy was the better receiver. Will Shipley can come in and take over both of those. So that just seems to be a nice fit, if you will, for Will Shipley. Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue, 5'11", 209. And when you look at Tyrone Tracy, the name should sound familiar because, look, he got his start at Iowa as a receiver. So this was a guy, really 2019 was his best year as a receiver, 36 catches, 589 yards. But then he goes to Purdue, and really he started as a receiver, in 2023 look, you know, as a running back, over, you know, 700 yards, 8 touchdowns, still had another 19 receptions as well. So this is a receiver that's converted to running back. And one of the guys that I think of anytime that we have that conversation obviously has to be Antonio Gibson, right? Gibson at Memphis. Now, he was a third round pick, number 66 overall, you know, thickly built, you know, 6 foot 228. So he's a lot bigger than Tyrone Tracy is. But, you know, look, 38 catches, 735 yards, 19.3 yard per catch average, 8 touchdowns. And then he got to carry the ball quite a bit with 33 carries for 369 yards and 4 scores, 11.2 yards per carry. So, you know, Tyrone Tracy, I think, is a guy that's still continuing to develop. But it's one of those things to where when you have a guy that is versatile like that, teams are going to want to get them on the roster. And here's one of the things that you think of. You know, I think of, you know, Ty Montgomery, a receiver at Stanford, ultimately was a receiver in the NFL to start out, and then ends up moving over to the running back position and ended up actually having a decent career on the ground. So I look at Tyrone Tracy, you know, there at Purdue. I think he could end up being a fourth round pick because of that versatility. You know, and the 4.48 40, 40 inch vertical leap, that 6.813 cone drill was the fastest. You know, and then short shuttle 4.06 was the second fastest among the group. So athleticism for days. This is a guy that I think is going to surprise a lot of people, because, you know, there are a lot of people that just aren't talking about it. I look at Ray Davis out of Kentucky, 5'8", 211. Now, Ray Davis, obviously, he started his career at Temple, was a leading rusher there with the Owls, and then he transfers to Vanderbilt. And ultimately, 3 games in, I think it was, ends up having a season-ending toe injury. Rebounds, 1,000-yard year with the Commodores, and started to get on the radar of NFL scouts. Then transfers to Kentucky, over 1,100 yards on the ground, 14 touchdowns, strong between the tackles, runs behind his pads, tremendous contact balance as well, willing to drive the pile for extra yards, decent lateral agility to make that quick cut to the outside, lowers those pads to finish. He loves contact. Solid pass catcher out of the backfield, 94 receptions in his career. Willing blocker, just needs to get better in that area to really be a third down back at the next level. But you know, one of the teams that I've got, you know, him mocked to is San Francisco. San Francisco, you know, at 132 overall, you know, it's a fourth round pick. You know, we look at it, and you know, Elijah Mitchell, capable backup to Christian McCaffrey. Jordan Mason provided some depth. Mitchell, look, he missed 6 games with a knee injury. He's also in a contract year, as is Mason. So this could be a look to the future. Bring in Ray Davis, be a nice compliment to Christian McCaffrey. So last two power backs. You know, there aren't a ton of power backs in this group. So Audric Estime out of Notre Dame, 5'11", 221. You know, this is a guy that is physical between the tackles. Good athleticism, although when you watched him at the combine, he just looked a step slow, a little odd. Ran a 4.71. 38-inch vertical leap, though, so you did see that explosiveness. You know, I think he ran in the 4.5s at Notre Dame's Pro Day, I want to say. So much better. But this is a guy that you know, has a nose for the end zone, physical play. Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State is another one. 6 foot 218. You know, he's big, he's physical, he's got good speed, not great speed. So again, another guy that can pick up runs in bunches because of those long strides. He's physical, he's going to run you over. Decent pass catcher out of the backfield as well. You know, the thing for me with him is, you know, when he sees the cutback lanes, those creases, you know, he's a bigger running back. So some of those holes that maybe a Blake Corum or a Ray Davis could get to, I don't know that Isaiah Davis is going to be able to do that. But again, with that physicality, you know, that Davis brings, and just that the bigger frame, you know, that's something that, you know, teams, there aren't a lot of guys in this draft class, like I said, that are that size. So just a handful of guys even over 6 foot. So I know that teams are going to be looking for that and coveting that. So what I did here was potentially 5 coming off the board in round 3. First time that we would have seen that since 2019. So again, I think that we are going to see a couple of backs taken in round 2. Then we could have 3 to 4 there in round number 3, similar to what we had last year with 4 taken in round 3. And then in round 4, You know, I've got as many as four coming off the board with Tracy, Davis, Estime, Davis. So, makes a lot of sense because from 2019 to 2021, how many did we have? Exactly four per year. 2022, we had actually have five or even more. You know, again, that was a draft class that, you know, had 24 and most of it was backloaded. You know, when you get into the fifth round, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, 6'1", 235. You know, this is he's a young kid. He just turned 20 in January, I think on the 20th, I want to say. And, you know, he's a physical runner. And, you know, I think there's still some development that's needed to his game. You know, I think you see a lot of the athleticism. You see just the raw talent. But I think this is a guy that still needs to learn to carry the football. I think the vision needs to get better. You know, a guy that, look, you know, he wasn't used at all in Paul Chryst's offense as a pass catcher. And then it was almost like Luke Fickell made it a point to get this guy the football. 28 catches, which is 4.7 yards per reception. Just kind of force-feeding him the football. Back-to-back years with over 1,200 yards on the ground, and then 984 this past season. 5.9 yards per carry, 35 touchdowns. I mean, the guy looks like a man, and he's only 20 years of age. I mean, he's a big, big kid. You know, I think, you know, with him, he didn't run at his pro day, nor did he at the combine. I think what he really wanted to do was showcase. You know, I think he ran some routes and things like that. You know, I'm a little curious as to why he hasn't run. You know, that's interesting to me. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how things shake out with Braylon Allen. There are some people who think he could end up being running back one. I just don't see it. I know that you're going to get enamored when you look at him, you know, coming off the bus. It's like, all right, that's a dude right there. But I think there's just some nuances to the game that he still needs to bring, you know, help, needs a coach to help bring him along. Whereas Isaac Garendo, you know, he transferred to Louisville. This was a guy that actually played behind, you know, Braylon Allen there at Wisconsin. Transferred to Louisville, 6 foot, 221. And Garendo, I think this is a guy, he's one of those sneaky good players. And, you know, he's a big physical kid. Didn't really get to carry the football a ton there at Wisconsin. And, you know, even before Braylon Allen got there, you know, this was a guy that also, you know, he backed up, what was it, Garrett Groshek, Jalen Berger. So just a guy that never really got it much of a shot there at Wisconsin, gets to Louisville. And again, you've got, you know, Jawar Jordan that's kind of stealing his thunder, but he was a steady player. 810 yards on the ground, 11 touchdowns, 22 receptions. And then he shows up at the combine and puts together really a tremendous workout. And, you know, it makes teams really wonder. I mean, for a guy that's 221 pounds, ran a 4.33 40 with a 41-inch vertical leap. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous, the level of athleticism there with Garendo. And so, you know, there's a lack of production overall. Didn't really get much of a shot, right, until his last season. So obviously there's going to be some cause for concern there. But I look at some of the running backs that came off the board in round five. I look at a guy like Snoop Connor. There was Tyler Allgeier in 2022. You know, some of the bigger backs, you know, tend to come off the board round five, round six, that may or may not have a ton of production, but guys that you want to have on your roster. So I think this is the right fit for Isaac Garendo. I'm going to take a flyer on Cody Schrader here in round number five as well, out of Mizzou. 5'8", 202. Look, the thing with Cody Schrader, he's not going to be the fastest guy in the world. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's quicker than he is fast. He's going to pick up yards in bunches. But the thing with it is he just gets better as the game goes along. You know, and his story is amazing. You know, started out at Truman State, which is my dad's alma mater, by the way. Started at Truman State, 4 years there. Division II, ends up walking on at Mizzou, ends up being their starting running back in two straight seasons. And this past season, look, you know, he was, you know, finished eighth in the Heisman. And he was a big reason why Mizzou ended up in the top 10. Over 1,600 yards on the ground, 14 touchdowns, another 22 receptions, 41 total in his career. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he looks for contact. He loves contact. He can make you miss. He's going to run through tackles. You better wrap this guy up, because the effort there. He just plays with his hair on fire, and he works hard. The work ethic is there. There are videos of him working out by himself in the facility there, just running drills on his own. And I think that mentality, that workhorse ability, I think that's something that teams are really going to be interested in. And I think it's going to be a lot sooner than people might expect. I think there are some people that are expecting him to come off the board maybe in round six, possibly even round seven. I got news for you. This is a kid that teams are going to get excited for. I think there's a good chance that we could see him come off the board much sooner than that. Blake Watson out of Memphis wasn't even invited to the combine. But at 5'9", 195, this dude is he's so athletic. And I think that's one of the things that is so impressive with him. Played at Old Dominion and, over 900 yards on the ground there. Ends up transferring to Memphis, though. Over 1,100 yards on the ground, 14 touchdowns, 53 receptions for 480 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ended up having a 63-yard reception and a 69-yard carry. When you're talking about this guy, he's explosive. He's a guy that he's not the biggest guy. Again, 5'9", 195, but that explosiveness. And when I look at him, there's going to be a couple of other guys here in round number six. I look at Deuce Vaughn, where he went off the board last year in round six. Some of that lack of size. That's where I think you could end up seeing Blake Watson is going to be here, but dude's a stud. Rasheen Ali out of Marshall, getting into round number six. Round six, we average right around 4-3-year average. It's a little bit higher because we had 6 come off the board in 2021, 5 in 2022. Round six, I look at a guy like Rasheen Ali out of Marshall, and again, this is a guy that he gets injured at the. At the Senior Bowl, so again, wasn't able to do a lot of the workouts, but well, this guy is healthy. He only played in 3 games in 2022, but look, 1,400 yards on the ground in 2021, over 1,100 yards in 2023 for the Thundering Herd, 39 touchdowns in his career, 75 receptions. He's explosive. Give him a hole and allow him to do work. And he's one of those guys that I wish he would have gotten a chance to run at the combine, but at 5'11", 206, he's got good size. He's just a guy that I think he's definitely going to get drafted just based on the film. But I would have loved to have seen him get a chance to work out, see him really put on a show there at the Senior Bowl as well. One of those underrated running backs. I think sixth round makes a lot of sense for him. How about Dylan Lobby out of New Hampshire? 5'10", 206. What is this guy going to be? I think that's really going to be the main question mark for him, right? Is he a slot receiver? Is he a running back? He does a little bit of everything. And, I think that's the reason why a lot of people are calling him this year's Danny Woodhead. And, it makes a lot of sense, man. In 2022, over 1,200 yards on the ground, 15 touchdowns, 715 yards this past season. But it's the receptions. 22 in 2021, 49 in 2022, 68 in 2023. And you watch him there at the Senior Bowl, he can compete with those guys at that level. This was a guy that he was repeatedly, whether they lined him in the slot, they lined him out of the backfield, he was able to get open with regularity because of the way he runs his routes. He's so sudden as a route runner. So I think teams are going to take a flyer on Dylan Lobby because of that. And I love the explosiveness. This guy can change directions on a dime. 6'8", 4'3", cone drill. And then the short shuttle, 4.02, was the fastest. Put up 225, 23 times, 37-inch vertical leap. Look, I said he's quicker than he is fast. If I didn't, he is. 4.5, 4.40, not the fastest by any means. But, man, he does a lot of things right. He's one of those guys. Look, Danny Woodhead burst onto the scene. Everybody loved him. I think Dylan Lobby is going to be another guy. Wherever he gets drafted, he's going to be a guy that's going to become a fan favorite. Bucky Irving out of Oregon, 5'9", 192. He's one of those interesting guys, man. I'm not sure exactly what to do with him. Because at one point I had him coming off the board as high as round 3. Because you look at the production at Oregon, right? Back-to-back years, over 1,000 yards. 11 touchdowns this past season, 56 receptions, you know, 95 total receptions in his career between Minnesota, where he was as a freshman, and then his two seasons there at Oregon. But, you know, it's one of those things, the lack of size, and then, you know, it's hard to forget what you saw at the combine. You know, 4.55 40, ran, you know, just a 29 and a half inch vertical leap. You know, some of that explosiveness was really surprising, the lack thereof, went from Bucky Irving. I just think that lack of size, I look at the round six and some of the running backs that were taking, Tyler Beatty out of Missouri, a very productive running back, you know, a little undersized. And so I think that's where my head kind of goes, where that gravitates towards is really that move in round number six for Bucky Irving, despite all of that production. Just because I can't justify taking him over some of these other backs. I just can't. You know, Kimani Vidal out of Troy, 5'8", 213. This dude, you know, you want to talk about production. Kimani Vidal had a ton of production at Troy. I think he's a pretty good pass blocker as well. He can end up coming off the board maybe even a little bit higher than where he's going to be, where I have him slated there in round six. But over 4,000 yards on the ground for Troy. You know, that's a lot of wear on the legs, 281 rushes, and then 92 receptions as well. So good pass catcher out of the backfield. 33 touchdowns. But the 1,661, I mean, look, you know, that always kept him at the top of the FBS rushing list this past season. And he's one of those guys who, you know, he's got decent vision, good cutback ability, a guy that's going to be able to bounce the ball, bounce it to the outside, good body control as well, you know, being able to avoid some blocks, some good jump cut ability, good power, good strength. He's one of those intriguing backs. Again, fifth, sixth round feels really right there with Kimani Vidal. The team's going to get good value there. Frank Gore Jr. out of Southern Miss. I think there's a debate here with him. 5'8", 201. But, you know, with Frank Gore, I think there's a chance for him to get drafted. I really do. And, you know, again, he's got his father. You know, that's going to get everyone excited. You know, he plays a lot like his dad. Looks a lot like his dad, too. But over 1,300 yards on the ground in 2022. Again, over 1,100 yards in 2023. 75 receptions in his career. 30 total touchdowns between the ground game and through the air. But who can forget Frank Gore and the performance against Rice in the bowl game in 2022. 329 yards on the ground, 15.7 yards per carry, and two touchdowns. I know it was against Rice, but still, I mean, that's a pretty darn impressive performance. You know, and this was a guy, look, you know, again, another 100-yard performances, including 247 yards against Appalachian State, 10.3 yards per carry in that game, and two touchdowns. So this is a guy that can be a workhorse for you. And, you know, because he's got his dad's mentality, physical runner, sixth, probably seventh round. I've got him penciled right now at six, but he's probably going to be a seventh rounder because I look at guys like Jace McClellan and Kendall Milton. I think they probably get drafted ahead of Frank Gore. I think Gore is probably a seventh rounder now that I think about it. But he's a guy that I think will probably end up getting himself drafted. I look at the seventh round now, because sixth round, you know, we had right around four, right? Seventh round, averaging about three. Last 2 years, we saw exactly three come off the board. And so when we look at this group, though, I think Kendall Milton, Jace McClellan, I'm not as high on Jace McClellan as some others are. You know, I look at a guy like Kenny McIntosh. A lot of people talked him up. He wound up going off the board in round seven. I kind of feel the same way about, you know, McClellan and Kendall Milton. You know, Dijon Edwards out of Georgia, a lot of people think he may end up getting drafted. They have him slated a lot higher. These are guys that, you know, some of the bigger names I don't know necessarily are going to come off the board just because they went to Georgia or Alabama. Jace McClellan for me, solid back, wasn't spectacular, You have a 5'10", 221 pounds, and, you know, a guy that, he was a reliable back. I think that's one of the things that you could say there with him at Bama. Very reliable, over 1,900 yards on the ground, 18 total touchdowns, and then 40 receptions to his career as well. But to me, I worry about the speed. I don't know that he's fast enough. I also don't know that he's strong enough at the next level. Really, where is he going to fit into an offense? That's my biggest question mark, and that's why I have him coming off the board in round 7. Kendall Milton, 6'1", 226. He's a big, big back. And look, you know, when you talk about the running backs there coming out of Georgia, Kenny McIntosh, 6'1", 210, was taken number 237 overall. I think about, Kendall Milton. And again, you know, there's a reason why he was splitting time with Dijon Edwards. Over 1,800 yards on the ground. This was a guy that didn't really catch the football a whole lot, which I think is definitely going to hurt him. Milton, and then you draw the comparison there, obviously, with Edwards and where that falls. Edwards, 2,000 yards on the ground, 37 receptions, a little bit more of a pass catcher, thicker build as well. So those are two guys that I've kind of gone back and forth with. I think Kendall Milton, though, as a runner, what was more impressive, I just want to see him be able to catch the football out of the backfield. Dylan Johnson of Washington, 6 foot, 217 pounds. This was a guy that I thought, look, he was kind of the heart and soul. I know Michael Penix Jr., the tremendous leader, but heart and soul was Dylan Johnson, man. The way that he ran the football for Washington. At Mississippi State, over 1,100 yards on the ground in his three seasons there. That was a team that wanted to throw the football, right? And look, you know, 149 receptions during his time there. Then the power back, the bruiser there that we saw at Washington. Over 1,100 yards on the ground, 16 touchdowns, still put up another 24 receptions. But what I loved was his ability to adapt to a different style of offense and still be incredibly, incredibly productive. You know, and what you saw there against USC, that 256 yards on the ground, 9.8 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns. You saw the physicality. You saw his ability to bounce it, you know, to press the line of scrimmage, find the hole, get downhill. Running through arm tackles, you know, the USC tackling was atrocious, and he took advantage of that. But that the physicality, he just always seemed to be productive, always found a hole, always falling forward. And then he played with that foot injury all year, and I just don't know how he was able to tough it out in some of those games. But he was the guy that really kind of helped that momentum, especially down the stretch for Washington in some of those close games. He's a guy that could have come off the board in round 6, possibly, but I think round 7 is really where it makes a lot of sense for Dylan Johnson. After that, Imani Bailey out of TCU is a guy that you can keep an eye on. I think Bailey is an interesting guy there out of TCU. TCU running backs, they tend to get drafted, right? And he had over 1,200 yards on the ground, 25 receptions this past season at TCU. Started his career at Louisiana, only played there for 2 seasons, then transferred to TCU. And, Imani Bailey, look, he's only 5'7", but he's over 200 pounds. Big, thickly built guy for a guy that's shorter, on the shorter side. But, the other guy that I'm wondering about and that I could... You know, I'm kind of going back and forth between Bailey and George Helani. George Helani was the guy who's been incredibly productive there at Boise. The biggest issue is health. I think that's going to be the biggest concern with him. Just under 36 yards on the ground, 26 touchdowns, 88 receptions in his career in those 5 seasons there in Boise with the Broncos. But what I worry about, again, with George Helani is health, because he couldn't stay on the field. 5'10", 208, ran a 4.5, 240, 39-inch vertical leap. He's got some good lower body explosiveness, but look, he only played in 4 games. Obviously, that was the COVID year in 2020, but then 9 in 2021, 8 in 2023. When he was healthy in 2019 and 2022, over 1,000 yards. Can he stay healthy? That's the biggest question mark, the medical red flags. I think at the end of the day, if I had to choose between the two of them, I ultimately think Imani Bailey is going to be the guy that's going to end up getting drafted there. Other guys to be mindful of, you know, you've got the diminutive ones, and Jawar Jordan and Keelan Robinson out of Louisville and Texas. Could we see two backs taken from those schools? I think it's possible, but Jawar Jordan and Keelan Robinson, just I think more so as a undrafted free agent come in and really prove themselves. I think they've got good speed. That's one thing that they both have, but they weren't overly, they're not overly productive. Keelan Robinson, 4.4 240. I don't have the confidence in either of them in terms of getting drafted. Mayan Williams out of Ohio State, a guy that also battled injuries, 5'8", 229, a bowling ball, a guy that was good for the red zone, but I thought Ohio State wasn't nearly as explosive as an offense when Travion Henderson was out and they put Mayan Williams in. So that's where it worries me. Jaden Sherton out of Monmouth, 5'8", 187. I thought it was nice seeing him at the Senior Bowl. I think he's a guy that has proven that he can play. He's capable of playing at the next level. I just don't know that he's going to get drafted either. Michael Wiley out of Arizona, 5'10", 210. This guy shared the backfield with a lot of dudes at Arizona. One of the things that I really like about Michael Wiley, though, is his ability to catch the football out of the backfield. That's one of the things I thought that he was really impressive with. Look, 123 receptions in his 5 years there with the Wildcats. Never over 700 yards on the ground, but 123 receptions and 12 touchdowns in his career. That could potentially get him drafted round 7. If a team is looking for one of those pass-catching running backs late, but I think he'll ultimately go the undrafted free agent route, a priority free agent. And then one other guy to mention, Carson Steele out of UCLA. This was a guy that I thought it would have behooved him to come back for another year. Has those flowing locks coming out of his helmet, looks like Thor. Was one of Bruce Feldman's freaks running. He's got the power. I think, 600-pound squat, 500-pound bench, or 400-pound, something ridiculous. He's just a big ball of muscle. And at Ball State, he ran for over 1,500 yards, 1,556 to be exact, 14 touchdowns, 29 receptions. Gets to UCLA, transfers, figure, all right, I'm going to go ahead and play in the Pac-12 for Chip Kelly. 847 yards on the ground. That's nothing to be disappointed about. 17 touchdowns. Ball security was his biggest issue. He couldn't hold on to the football. That was one of the things that was just so disappointing. And this is a guy, he's got that one cut, make you miss in the hole, and then he's got, a burst of speed to pick up a lot of yards. And the physicality, he can run through contact and, run you over. But, again, ball security, big, big issue there. 6'1", 215 pounds. I would have loved to have seen him come back to UCLA. Look, even enter the transfer portal and go somewhere else if he wasn't happy there at UCLA. Obviously, a lot of turmoil there. Chip Kelly leaving, Deshaun Foster coming in. Could have played for the running backs coach, but ultimately Carson Steele is entering the draft. And I just don't think there's probably, there's a reason why he was ultimately left off the combine list. He ended up losing his job to TJ Harden. And that, especially in a year that you are entering the draft, that's going to impact your draft stock. Would have loved to have seen him come back and do it one more year. So that's really where I worry that there's any draft stock there for him. I think he's a decent pass blocker, so I think that can help him out as well. But, man, there's other physical backs here that are going to get drafted well before Carson Steele is going to hear his name called. But, again, physicality, teams that are looking for that change of pace, a guy that's going to run you over and be physical, maybe Carson Steele gets a shot late in the draft, late round 7, but I think, again, priority free agent makes a lot of sense there. So we've gone through all of the running backs. How many do I have coming off the board? All total, we are looking at 23. I think there could be as many as 25 taken. I've got 23. That would end up eclipsing the 2023 mark by 5. But again, 2024, you had 24. And it just feels like it's cyclical, right? I mean, in 2019, you had 25, but then 2020, only 16. We saw 20 in 2021. And so I think there are some backs here that are going to get drafted that some are looking at saying there's no way. Like Frank Gore Jr. is a guy that I've seen people really with low rankings on. Monty Bailey's another one. You know, there are others that are higher on Jace McClellan and Kendall Milton as well. Again, the running backs, even though this is a position that is devalued, at the same time, we are seeing quite a few running backs drafted each and every year. I mean, you're talking about 20-plus running backs. And so I think what really separates them are, you know, the guys that, A, have the speed to take it the distance, guys that are versatile, can run the ball between the tackles on the perimeter, and then you've got to be able to catch the football out of the backfield, and you've got to be able to pass block. Can you be a three-down back? And then after that, you've got some other guys that fill in the blanks in terms of, you know, the roles that they're going to be slotted in, whether they're the short yardage guys, the physical running backs to be that change of pace, some of the other, you know, jitterbug, you know, quick guys that are going to try to make you miss in the open field as kind of that complement to the bell cow in the backfield. So I think the good news about this running back class is that, you know, regardless of what it is that you're looking for, I think you're going to be able to find it with this group. Same goes for the receiver position. You know, when you look at the receivers, and especially at the top of that draft, you know, we could have as many as 7 wide receivers taken in round number 1, which is absolutely staggering. You know, there's a lot of depth in this group, a lot of guys that we're going to be talking about. So, you know, I'm going to be jumping into that podcast, and we're going to pretty much hit the ground running fast and furious. I won't be able to spend too much time talking about each of the receivers because we got so much to cover with that group. And the thing with it is there's going to be a lot of receivers, a lot of good receivers that aren't going to get drafted. Teams are going to be bringing in the undrafted free agents, the priority free agents. That's where a lot of these scouts, you know, man, they're going to make their mark because they can identify guys, hey, this is somebody that we want to bring into camp. And those are guys that you could potentially see make it on a roster. I mean, when you think about the Jets and you think about like a guy like Xavier Gibson, you know, I mean, obviously you watched Hard Knocks. You know, some of these guys that end up making rosters that may not have gotten drafted, may not have gotten, you know, that chance to hear their name called. But at the end of the day, if you're one of the 53, or even if you make the practice squad, you know, that's saying something because, you know, as a priority free agent, hey, you'll take that all day long. So we'll have a lot to cover there with the receiver positions, probably going over an hour, well over an hour. But again, we've got a lot to cover there. So we'll go ahead and wrap things up with this podcast. Hope you've enjoyed the content so far. I like to play by the numbers. Analytics love their numbers. I just do the numbers a little bit differently. Try to think of something different and kind of look at things. Is there a way? Is there anything to history and the number of position players that you know, are taken in each draft? You know, and we'll have to ultimately see how it all plays out. But you know, trying to think through it and trying to look at the numbers and say, can we kind of match things up a little bit? And I think there's a possibility. You know, we'll just see how close we are when it's all said and done. So until next time, everyone, for ReadyForTheDraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week. Until next time, I am out.